We're going to talk about suffering and believing the best about God. I don't know if any of you have ever struggled with this. I personally have. I think a lot of people do. Hopefully we're going to come out on the other side better for it, stronger, more in love with the Lord for it. So you may encounter counselees who are wrestling with their beliefs or thoughts about God because what they've been through or what they're going through now is just really, really hard. The situation they find themselves in seems so opposite of what they believe about life and about God. I'm going to read a couple of passages of Scripture just to kind of prime the pump so that you can see that this is also talked about in Scripture. You know, most of the Psalms, they talk about problems that they're having with the Lord, the issues that they're facing in life, the problems that are going on, and most of the Psalms resolve themselves at the end. You know, Lord, I'm really going through this. Where are you? Are you hearing my cry? Are you hearing my prayers? But I will trust you. But there's actually two psalms that don't have a good, good, it's kind of relative, doesn't have the kind of ending, the resolution that we would hope that they would have. So those two psalms are Psalm 88 and Psalm 39. So I'm just going to read you parts of Psalm 88 just to give you an idea of what we're talking about today. This was by one of the sons of Korah. His name is Heman, not to be confused with Haman in Esther. He says, O Lord, the God who saves me, day and night I cry out before you. May my prayer come before you. Turn your ear to my cry. For my soul is full of trouble and my life draws near the grave. I am counted among those who go down to the pit. I'm like a man without strength. I'm set apart with the dead, like the slain who lie in the grave, whom you remember no more, who are cut off from your care. You have put me in the lowest pit, in the darkest depths. Your wrath lies heavily upon me. You have overwhelmed me with all your waves. You have taken from me my closest friends and have made me repulsive to them. I am confined and cannot escape. My eyes are dim with grief. I call to you, O Lord, every day. I spread out my hands to you. Do you show your wonders to the dead? Do those who are dead rise up and praise you? Is your love declared in the grave, your faithfulness in destruction? Are your wonders known in the place of darkness, or your righteous deeds in the land of oblivion? But I cry to you for help, O Lord. In the morning my prayer comes before you. Why, O Lord, do you reject me and hide your face from me? From my youth I have been afflicted and close to death. I have suffered your terrors in despair. Your wrath has swept over me. Your terrors have destroyed me. All day long they surround me like a flood. They have completely engulfed me. You have taken my companions and loved ones. Darkness is my closest friend. So this person is hurting. This person is struggling. And then I'm not going to read all of Psalm 39. I'm just going to read the end of it. It says, Hear my prayer, O Lord. Listen to my cry for help. Do not be deaf to my weeping, for I dwell with you as an alien, a stranger, as all my fathers were. Look away from me that I may rejoice again before I depart and am no more. These are hurting people, really hurting people. And like I said, some of the Psalms do have a resolution at the end, but Psalm 13, David says, How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, O Lord, my God. Give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death. My enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. So these people are really struggling. And we're going to have counselees who have had tragic childhoods, who have been abused physically, sexually, or emotionally, who have been deserted by their parents, who have been betrayed by friends and family, who have been devastated by the death of a loved one. Just think about the people that had, in the beginning of the pandemic, the ones that passed away, they died alone. Their loved ones couldn't even be by their side. Some have been abandoned by a spouse. Some have lost a child. Some have been rejected by their children. Some are living with chronic pain. They've received a hopeless diagnosis for themselves or someone they love. They've lost everything in a marriage or have lost everything in a business that's failed. So in each of these examples, they could have gone through these things or they could be going through them right now. And then, you know, when they're going through this suffering, they're wondering, where is God? You know, their internal monologue might sound something like this. God's word says he's good. What I'm going through sure doesn't feel good. Is God really good? Or how about God is sovereign? He could have prevented this, but he didn't. Can he really be trusted? God is supposed to be a loving father. I wouldn't treat my children this way. Why is he treating me like this? God is not answering my prayers. Where is he, and why hasn't he done something about my suffering? I'm a Christian. I thought God had a wonderful plan for my life. Is he punishing me? Is he mad at me? God seems uncaring or harsh. Why does God make my life so hard? So there are feelings of uncertainty, doubt, fear, and sometimes anger. They're not sure how to think right about God, and they're not sure how to think right about their suffering. You know, I recently saw a quote by C.S. Lewis. He said, "We are not necessarily doubting that God will do the best for us. We are wondering how painful the best will be, how it's going to turn out." If you haven't read the book by Paul Tripp called Suffering, I highly recommend anything that Paul Tripp writes and anything that David Pallison writes. So Paul Tripp said in his book Suffering, "Here's what every sufferer needs to understand. You never just suffer the thing you're suffering, but you always suffer the way that you are suffering that thing. You and I never come to our suffering empty-handed. We always drag a bag full of experiences, expectations, assumptions, perspectives, desires, intentions, and decisions into our suffering. So our lives are shaped not just by what we suffer, but what we bring to our suffering. What you think about yourself, life, God, and others will profoundly affect the way you think about, interact with, and respond to difficulty that comes your way." So Paul Tripp's point is we bring a lot to the table when we're going through suffering. He said the factors that we drag around in the bag are experiences, expectations, assumptions, perspectives, desires, intentions, and decisions. And these all influence how we interpret and respond to what we're going through and how we think about God. Our counselees come in because they want help with their problems, and yet their understanding or misunderstanding of God could be a hidden roadblock that will hinder them from getting the help for the reason they've come in. So during our time together, I'd like to discuss how perceptions, assumptions, and expectations that our counselees have affect how they're going through their suffering. In order to really help them go through their suffering, we may need to help them develop a proper biblical understanding of God and then develop a sound theology of suffering. I've mentioned that before. I can't tell you how important that is. Now, you've probably heard the saying before, perception is reality. So we all have our perception of how life should go. If I perceive something is true, then that's my reality. Now, I'm not saying it's right or the true reality, but it's my reality. And then we assume we are wise enough to know what's best and that God should do things our way. And I think I've said this before, we greatly overestimate our understanding of how the universe should operate. We assume that people should act according to our will, and we also assume that God will bless the righteous and punish the wicked. So we have expectations of God, we have expectations of ourselves, we have expectations of others. We expect life to go a certain way. We think if we do our part, God will do his part. If we faithfully follow God and serve him, he should bless us and give us lives that make sense to us. And we expect God to answer our prayers according to our expectations and desires. So in this life, we're going to face things that we can't understand, so far out of our control that we're going to be shaken to our core. If we hope to glorify God in our trials and glean all the lessons he has for us as we go through all these things, we have to examine what we believe and compare our beliefs with the truth that God has revealed about himself in his word. Trust and faith in God's truth will keep us from succumbing to the temptation to doubt his love, his sovereignty, and his wisdom. Our circumstances will not always support our beliefs.